Good morning, everyone. We're following the situation in Joplin, Missouri. Stay with us. If you have some information you'd like to share, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And we have voices and reporters from the region that we'll be hearing from all hour long here on The Takeaway. But let's begin with the president's speech of last Thursday. It was supposed to be a wide-ranging speech about all kinds of aspects of Middle East policy, including particularly the Arab Spring, the pro-democracy movement that is sweeping the Middle East. But the headline was the mention of 1967 and the borders between Israel and Palestine and Jordan and Syria and Egypt, for that matter. At the end of the Six-Day War in 1967, Ken Davis joins us. He's the author of the book series Don't Know Much About History on American History. He's a frequent guest on this program. Ken Davis, when you heard the president utter the date 1967, what went through your mind?
Well, the first thing that goes through my mind is that it's still the third rail in American foreign policy, in a sense, just as Social Security is in domestic policy.
The entire conflict, yeah. not the year.
Well, I think the year specifically is the third rail part of it. Anytime an American politician gets close to this, it's dangerous.
Well, let's listen to exactly what he said when he referred to this. That has really become the headline. And of course, the president spoke with the pro-Israeli American supporters at AIPAC over the weekend to try to explain what he said, but this is what he said on Thursday.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Israel responded negatively. The Palestinians said, yeah, of course. What do you think we've been talking about for the past 45 years? There's the nature of the deadlock. Can you go forward by going back, Ken Davis?
Well, I think we should first walk a lot of people through some of these dates because they're still a little confusing to a lot of people. Of course, May 1948, Israel's created. 1967, the June War, the Six-Day War, the Second Arab-Israeli War. It goes by a variety of names. Israel essentially grows enormously in size in this lightning war, a preemptive strike, primarily taking out the entire Egyptian Air Force in a matter of hours, and with an extraordinary military strike, really expands enormously.
Takes over also, the Sinai Desert, takes over the area that we call the West Bank now.
The Golan Heights, sure, between Israel and Syria. So an enormous amount of territory taken over that creates a new buffer zone, in essence, for Israel. And, of course, all that territory becomes radioactive now as Israeli settlers move in and start to build, and it becomes part of Israel.
But so we should remind people that there is no 1967 borders to return to. I mean, the Sinai was given back as part of the Camp David Accord.
That's correct.
So that's off the table, and that's more land than the West Bank and Gaza combined.
Well, that was the deal in 1978 with Camp David. Of course, to go back to that, Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat of Egypt ushered through the peace process by Jimmy Carter, and the first peace treaty between Israel and an Arab state, and the enormous piece of territory goes back to Egypt, land for peace. And that's always
the swap
thing. Been the swap that's operating here. Let me just for a second also go back to 1967, because we're, of course, talking about America that's under Lyndon Johnson,
right.
Robert McNamara's defense secretary. We're in Vietnam, but Vietnam hasn't become the enormous unpopular war that it would be. You know, 68 is really more the turning point year.
But there's nothing about Vietnam that was decisive and lightning strike. That's
no,
for sure.
No. But I'm saying in the American perception, yep, of what was going on, where, of course, it's a pre-internet, pre-cable. We got our news. We were still in the Cold War, and that's a very important part of this. A lot of Americans aren't even aware. The reporting was so different then. We got a few minutes of the Israeli-Arab war on a 30-minute newscast.
And they referred to the Egyptians as the socialists in most American newscasts.
And they did. And, of course, the United States was completely and staunchly behind Israel for cultural, political, and other reasons. The fact that there was a book called Exodus, a very popular book and film, had a lot to do with the mindset of Americans towards Israel. Here's this small, struggling country acting heroically. They had great press, and I'm not being – I don't mean to be facetious about that. And on the other side, you have the Arabs supported by the Soviet Union without any question. You have Soviet ships in the Mediterranean during the Six-Day War, and you have American ships. In fact, one story, the sub-story to the Six-Day War, is that American ship, the USS Liberty, was attacked by Israeli Defense Forces.
Yeah.
34 American sailors died in that attack. It's a question that kind of got pushed to the side and never fully explained in the minds of many. The Israelis claimed it was an accidental misidentification. There are many who claimed it was very deliberate to keep the Americans from knowing about Israeli.
But all these things that you're talking about is really what complicates this process. How different is the power behind this peace process? All these powers outside of Israel and outside of Palestine that influence whether or not there's ever going to be a peace or whether or not there will ever be an agreement on borders and boundaries, that's really shifted.
Well, it has shifted. When you think, for instance, I was saying America was pre-internet and pre-cable, it was also pre-OPEC. OPEC didn't really exist in 1967. That really becomes an issue in the 1970s with the oil aspect of this becomes much more prominent.
Well, the oil embargo was a response to the 73 war.
That's the response to the 73 war.
But the huge complication here is the population swap that has taken place.
That's
the
right.
fact that Israelis have moved into Palestinian land and the Palestinians have moved into refugee camps since 1967. And that is the sort of voltage polarity that needs to be addressed.
And the refugee question goes back to 1948
sure,
as well. There were certainly Palestinians who left what became Israel, and there's controversy about that. Did they leave, or were they pushed out? Were they forced out? That's an unresolved question for many people. So again, it's white hot on all of these questions, but it ultimately will come down to this question of probably land for peace and how much land and where it's going to be are the nitty gritty details.
Very little time, but as a historian, you know, Obama is betting that the urgency of the Arab Spring and the democratic movement and history moving so fast now is going to trump the expanding complexities that has made this very, very difficult. Do you think he can do it?
Based on 45 years of history, it seems not. It is truly the definition of the word intractable.
I wish you could see Ken Davis's face right now.
I can.
Head scratcher comes to mind. Ken C. Davis, the author of the book series Don't Know Much About History on American History, frequent guest on this program, talking about what 67 really means historically and right now. Thanks so much, Ken.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.